been listening to Ion Travel with Peter Greenberg. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com for more information and sign up for our newsletter. Ion Travel is a CBS Audio Network production.
Peter Greenberg back with you on board the Windstar Legend, sailing here in the Mediterranean. Of course, you know the drill. You can always reach me. Just email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question or problem. We will solve it right here on the air. Let's go right out to the phones out there in Bartlett, Illinois. I've got Ed on the phone. Hey, Ed.
Good morning, Peter.
How can I help you today?
Well, I have a question in regard to the United Mileage Plus program. I'm a fairly well-traveled person, and I was going to use some miles to try to get to David, Panama. And I've got to go through Panama City to get there, and I wanted to use miles. And my dilemma was this, that I'm sort of a big guy, and I've got some back issues, and I wanted to try and use miles of first class through United, and I guess their flying partner there is Copa Airlines. I'm
correct.
Not familiar with
correct.
Them, but I am now. And trying to use the miles, whether it was first class or even trying to get a seat on Copa Airlines, was just absolutely insane. I've never gone through such a process before, and I was wondering maybe if you had some guidance for me in the future.
Well, did you go
how to get that?
Sure. Did you go through the United website?
I did. Yes, I did. I did it on the app.
Because believe it or not, they are partnered with Copa, and Copa's a great airline, by the way. But my question is this: if you go on the United website, that flight will show up as either a United flight or a codeshare partner flight that would be operated by Copa. Now, each airline controls different inventory on that one plane. Basically, inventory that they can sell, as well as inventory that they can reserve for, like, you know, an award ticket. You may have been in a situation where there were no award tickets available on that flight in either the United category or the Copa category. Did they tell you the seats just weren't available?
Yes, and that's what I thought maybe was going on. But then when I called both United and Copa, they sort of, you know, handed it off to one another, where when I called United, they said, well, now Copa's in charge of the seat assignments, and you got to call them. And
then okay.
I called them, and they sort of, Copa sort of pushed back on United. And I go, you know, okay, I feel like a, you know, tennis ball going over the net.
Okay, so here's the deal, Ed. There's a difference between seat availability and seat assignments and who's controlling them. Remember, what Copa operates, they're an all 737 airline, which means the number of seats up front maybe only be 8. There's no business class. It's just basically, well, it is business class. There's no first class. It's business class and coach. So of 8 available seats on any flight, the number that may be available to the United Airlines mileage program may be 1 or none. Because airlines are holding back so many seats to be able to sell to revenue passengers. That's sort of the problem, and some might even say the deceit, of the airline frequent flyer programs. So it's not a question of who's just controlling the inventory. It's a question of whether or not there's inventory to control. See what I'm saying?
I understand. Let me ask you this, though, Peter. Wouldn't you think they would tell me that, and then I would understand that? But I wasn't told that by either United or Copa.
You know what?
That's right.
And you're absolutely right. And you're absolutely right about that. They need to be full disclosure. But remember, they're looking at different screens. What United Airlines is looking at on their screen is the available inventory that they have. Copa's looking at the available inventory that they have. And it could be 0-0 for both of them because they don't want to give away and displace a revenue passenger by being nice to you. That's the problem.
I know you preach that all the time about full disclosure, and I listen to you religiously here in the Chicago area, and that's why I thought I would write the email. And I have to tell you, very impressed with the timeliness and your assistant Amanda in regards to getting back to me. It made me feel like all the stuff you talk about, you actually follow through. And in this day and age, as you know, that doesn't always happen.
Well, Ed, you get 100% on your report card for being so nice to me.
Well, thank you, Peter. I do appreciate your time, and you have a dedicated follower. And I always tell people, if they're trying to figure out what to do, to listen to you.
So, hey, And by the way, Ed, you get no mileage for this call.
I figured that.
Hey, thanks very much, man. We really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you, Peter.
You got it, Ed. Thanks.
Take care. Bye.
You know, Ed's problem is not in a vacuum. The problem is the websites themselves. They're not always giving you all the information about the inventory, even if it's controlled by another airline or part of their Star Alliance or the Oneworld or the Sky Team. Nothing takes the place, I want to emphasize this, of a conversation. Pick up the phone, call the airline, and say, are there available award seats on this flight? Even if it's a code share partner. And that's the only way you're going to find out. But the other thing that will happen in that conversation, if you're lucky, they may actually propose another flight on another code share partner that they may actually have inventory in. Again, the airlines restrict the number of seats they make available to a large extent. It's part of what I said before, the deceit of the frequent flyer program. But if you just depend on the website, you're doing yourself a disservice. Have that conversation and then find out who are the other members of their strategic alliance. That may be your salvation. That music means you're out of time for this hour. Stick around, much more coming from the Windstar legend in the Med right after this.
You've been listening to Eye on Travel with Peter Greenberg. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com for more information and sign up for our newsletter. Eye on Travel is a CBS Audio Network production. Been listening to Eye on Travel with Peter Greenberg. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com for more information and sign up for our newsletter. Eye on Travel is a CBS Audio Network production.
Peter Greenberg back with you on board the Windstar Legend. Of course, you know the drill. You can always reach me. Just email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We will solve it right here on the air. Let's go right out to the phones in San Juan, Puerto Rico. I've got Javier on the phone. Hey, Javier.
Hi, Peter. How are you doing?
Good. How can I help you?
Well, I purchased an airplane ticket with Avianca. It was a refundable ticket. I requested a refund. It took over 3 months to get the refund, but there were $25 that I never received. And apparently those $25 were transfer fees that they said they cannot cover.
Now here's the interesting thing, Javier. They never disclosed that, did they? You bought a refundable ticket. That means you deserve a full refund. Now you paid for it on a credit card?
Yes.
Okay. Now here's the deal. When you buy a ticket with a credit card, and by the way, I basically encourage everybody to do that because it retains your rights under the federal credit law. If you do not receive the good or service that you contracted for, whether you're buying a television or an airline ticket, you're entitled to a full and, here it comes, immediate refund. The fact that you had to wait 3 months for a refund and then they deducted this insane $25 processing fee and is not excusable. How they get away with it is they're not an airline based in the United States or, for that matter, in Puerto Rico, right? However,
yeah,
they do. Where were you flying from? What two cities were you flying from?
That was from San Juan to Mexico.
Okay. So they do come under the U.S. Department of Transportation rule, and that is any airline that flies to, from, or through the United States, whether they're domestic or foreign, are covered by that DOT rule. Now, the question that I have for you, based on not just the principle here, but the amount, is how much time do you want to spend chasing $25?
Not much. It's stressful.
Exactly. And we're talking about it now. By the way, you're not in the wrong. You're in the right. But they did not disclose this. So let me follow up with them. But I want to assure you that my odds of getting your $25 back are probably not good because nobody wants to waste the time on it. But there are lessons to be learned here. And that is, waiting 3 months for a refund, is not acceptable under any circumstances, whether they gave you a full refund or just gave you back that full refund minus the $25. That's the point here. So I know you sent me a lot of documentation. Let me follow through on that, and we'll get back to you, okay?
Thank you very much.
You got it, Javier. We much appreciate it.
Have a good rest of the year.
Hey, you too, sir. And now let's go to the emails. Here's one from Jack who writes, my wife and I stayed at a hotel last December, which is about a month ago, and he said someone opened our safe and $560 was taken, along with my wife's jewelry. Management basically told me there is no evidence, so therefore there is nothing they can do. TripAdvisor has reviews that also others had this same issue. Is there anything you can advise or help in this situation? Well, let's start with the whole concept of the in-room hotel safe. Every hotel will tell you that they're not liable for anything taken from that safe. You're the only one who controls the combination. However, in reality, every hotel has the password to open that safe in case you leave something in there and you leave the hotel. So when the hotel tells you there's nothing they can do, I disagree. Because how did you get into your room? Did you use a key card, right? Did you have to tap the door as opposed to the traditional metal hotel key? If it was a key card, the hotel has a record, guaranteed record. It's time-coded of when that door was opened, when that door was closed, and if it's an employee of the hotel, it's coded that it was a maid or a maintenance guy or somebody from engineering. So the bottom line is they just didn't want to do the homework because they didn't want the liability. But there's another overriding rule here, and that is this. I never use the hotel safe in the room because of that liability issue, right? It's as simple as that. In the old days, they used to charge you to use the hotel safe, and they still weren't liable. That was a double negative. So in this case, I go back to the management and say, do you or do you not have a time-coded record of when that door was opened and who had access? And my guess is they might. Now, if it's an old-school hotel and it was just opened with a regular key, then you may not have any standing at all. But the bottom line is, I just do this as a rule of thumb, I do not use hotel in-room safes for that very reason. Because should something go missing, or something get stolen, or even something get left, the hotel will easily claim they're not liable, just so you know. That music means you're out of time for the entire show. Lots of people to thank on this ship. Of course, Amanda Morris, our producer, Mike Worrell doing the engineering, Sarah Skultalk and the entire staff of the Windstar Legend. Thank you guys so much, and we'll see you next week on another edition of Eye on Travel.
You've been listening to Eye on Travel with Peter Greenberg. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com for more information and sign up for our newsletter. Eye on Travel is a CBS Audio Network production.